and in the snow where he had been standing a moment before, no mark of any kind was left. As Will looked back, he could see only one line of footprints. His own.
When the dark comes rising, six shall turn it back. Three from the circle, three from the track. Wood, bronze and iron, water, fire and stone. Five will return and one go alone.
The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper. The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan. Episode The Dark is Rising. The Dark is The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper for BBC World Service. Episode 5, The Book of Gramarye. Christmas Eve. The day when the delight of Christmas really took fire in the Stanton family. Wonderful baking smells permeating the house from the kitchen, the icing of the cake, and for Will Stanton, after breakfast, the great ritual of fetching the tree from Dawson's farm. When no one else was looking, Farmer Dawson slipped a sprig of holly into the top buttonhole of Will's coat.
Holly is a good protection against the dark if pinned over the window or door.
And then they carried the tree ceremonially through the front door over the threshold of the Stantons' house. And out of the boxes came the decorations that would turn the life of the family into a festival of 12 nights and days. That evening, six of the Stanton children, James, Robin, Mary, Barbara, Paul and Will, set out carol singing in the village.
And right, boots on, please, coats. And back by 9:30.
It was dark by the time they left. Robin carried a lantern on a pole and each of them had a candle in one coat pocket for when they would stand and sing.
Remember Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day.
On through the village they sang until at last it was time for Miss Greythorne at the manor, the last stop before home. There, in the doorway of the manor house, stood Miss Greythorne's butler, smiling politely at them, and Will, as he looked up at him, swallowed his last high note. He saw a strong, bony head, with deep-set eyes and an arched nose, fierce as a hawk's beak.
Enchanting. What perfect singing.
Mr. Lion, don't keep them waiting on the doorstep.
There she sat in the long entrance hall in the same high back chair they saw every Christmas. Miss Greythorne.
Paul, how are your mother and your father?
Oh, very well, thank you, Miss Greythorne.
And are you having a busy time this year, Will Stanton?
I certainly am.
Come on, everyone. For Miss Greythorne, good King Wenceslas.
Oh, wonderful.
Ready?
Wonderful, thank you so much.
Good King Wenceslas looked out.
Unable to walk for years after a riding accident when she was young, thin-faced, bright-eyed, her grey hair swept up in a knot, a figure of total mystery in Huntercombe.
Deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon at night.
Glancing up, Will saw, with a shock as brutal as if someone had thumped him in the stomach...
James? James? Robin? Mary? Move!
...that they stood there, immobile, all of Will's brothers and sisters, caught out of time. And as the music drifted into the distance, ahead of Will, emerging out of the dark, rose the great carved doors that he had first seen on a snow-mounded Chiltern hillside.
The doors?
Yes, Will. We must pass through them again.
Merriman raised his left arm, pointed at the doors. They opened, and Will walked with Merriman into the light of a different time and a different Christmas. Now they found themselves in a bright room unlike any Will had ever seen. High-painted ceilings, walls of shiny gold wood, and a throng of people dressed like a brilliant scene from a history book.
Gas lamps. What time are we in now?
1875. Not a bad year. Queen Victoria has been on the British throne for 38 years, and here in Buckinghamshire, Miss Mary Greythorne is holding a Christmas Eve party with carols and music.
Merriman.
Yes, ma'am.
We've been waiting for you, Will Stanton, sign seeker. It's almost time.
She knelt down beside Will.
Now you must find your third sign, the sign of wood. Wood is the sign of learning. And when you've done with your own particular learning, you will find it.
Come now. Can we have some more music?
Some refreshment for the young man first, perhaps.
A small man in a green coat was holding out a glass. Will took it.
Oh, thank you.
And found himself staring into a thin, lively face, almost triangular, a disturbing face which turned away and looked at Merriman.
And my lord, might I just...
There's no need to call me that in this century, Hawking.
Oh. Stop it, my lord. I have had the habit of calling you my lord for centuries now.
Who are you?
My name is Hawking. Nothing more, just Hawking.
Hawking belongs to me. He's my liege man. He has been with me all his life, as if he were my son. I took him where his parents had died.
And no son ever had better care.
Merriman put a hand affectionately on his shoulder.
He serves me and I hold him in great trust, so great that I have given him a vital part in the quest for your learning, Will.
Are you an old one?
Nay, just an ordinary mortal man. But like you, Will Stanton, I do not belong to this century. I was brought here only to do one certain thing. And then my Lord Merriman will send me back to my own time when...
Hawking is a child of the 13th century, Will. By my art, he has been brought forward out of it for this one day.
Before Will had a chance to puzzle over this mysterious exchange, the man in the green coat took his elbow...
Come with me, young old one.
...and began to steer Will across the room towards a side door.
Don't trust me, do you? Good.
Will hesitated, pulling back at the threshold.
Don't trust anyone here unless you have to, boy.
Merriman?
Go on, Will. It is all right.
Will, Hawking and Merriman slipped into a small wood-panelled room lined with glass-fronted bookcases and in the corner a vast grandfather clock.
Is this where I must seek the sign of wood?
No, Will. That part of the quest will come later.
Will glanced at Hawking and saw his thin, confident face, tight with apprehension. Merriman walked across the room to the clock and opened the front panel.
Guarded in this clock is the book from which you will learn your place as an old one, Will. It is a book of hidden things. Of real magic. We call it Grammary. And the book is hidden here.
Will could see the pendulum swaying slowly, hypnotically, to and fro, and behind it, a small leather-bound book. He glanced at Hawken and saw that he was trembling with terror.
Hawken?
Yes, my lord.
Come here.
Oh, my lord, please.
Come here. The time is now. Come on. Come here to me quickly, boy. Kneel. Kneel.
Merriman laid his hand on Hawkins' trembling shoulder and reached his right hand into the clock.
Hold still. For this to work, my hand must be on you.
He stretched his long fingers along one side, keeping them as flat as possible. Slowly, infinitely carefully, to avoid touching the pendulum, and then, with a snap, he flipped the book out into the room.
Catch it, Will!
Will raised his hands, and the book flew into them as if coming home.
What is it?
A book that has been waiting for you for a very long time.
Hawken had collapsed into a crumpled heap.
Is Hawken all right? What's happened to him?
He will recover. I had to weave a spell of protection for the book, a spell in two parts. First, the pendulum. I could not touch it or the book would be destroyed. Second, I could only take the book safely out past the pendulum if I were touching Hawken with my other hand.
And if you failed?
Then the book would be destroyed, and so would Hawken. Perished as a mortal man.
He risked his life.
Will! This is a cold battle we are in. And we must sometimes do cold things. Hawken has survived. We have the book. Now read it.
Hawken staggered back to his feet, no colour in his face, and leant against the wall, traumatised as Will looked at him with compassion.
In this room, now, the book will accomplish its final purpose, which is to bestow on you, Will Stanton, the last of the old ones, the gift of Grammary. And when you have the knowledge, Will, the circle will be completed, and the book will be needed no longer, and it will be destroyed. Now we shall leave you here to read, Will, and when you are finished, I will return. Come.
Merriman slipped an arm round Hawkins' back and half carried him towards the door, and the two men, one tall, proud, the other crumpled, diminished, made their way back to the music and voices of the next room, leaving Will sitting with the Book of Grammary. Will was never able afterwards to tell how long he spent with the Book of Grammary. It was truly not a book like other books. There were simple enough titles to each page.
Of flying, of the words of power, of time through the doors.
But instead of presenting him with a story or instruction, the book would simply give a snatch of verse or a bright image which somehow sent him into the midst of whatever experience was involved.
I have journeyed as an eagle. I'm flying. I'm soaring aloft as if I had wings. No, I am winged. I'm sweeping and gliding. I can rest on the wind. I am an eagle.
And Will knew, as he flew, that the eagle was one of only five birds who could see the dark, and instantly he knew the other four.
I'm flying. I'm flying! Far, far up into the blue-black sky. And I can see the patterns of the stars. There, the bull roars by me, bearing the great sun, Aldebaran. And that's the Pleiades singing. singing to me in small, beautiful voices.
Up Will flew and outward through black space, and when he was down, he knew every spell of the sun and moon. He knew the despair of Mercury. He had written on a comet's tail, and in a flash, Will was blinking again at the page of the Book of Grammarian, and into his mind came the story of the Old Ones. And into Will's mind, whirling him up on a wind blowing through and around the whole of time, was the magic that was the power of rocks and fire and water and living things, so that the first men lived in it and with it as a fish lives in water. And so it went on. And Will learnt the speech of all creatures that have ever been, and the names of all the trees in the world's wild wood. The giant sequoia, the angel oak, the ginkgo and the mountain ash, and on and on and on and on, until at last Will found that he had come to the end of the book, and that facing the cover was
a drawing of the six circled cross signs, all joined into one circle. And that is all.
Will closed the book slowly and sat staring at nothing. He felt as though he had lived for 100 years, and though the astonishing knowledge he had gained should have excited him, he felt so weighed down by it.
Ah, yes, young Will. It is a responsibility, a heaviness, isn't it? But there it is. We are old ones, Will, born into the circle, and there is no help for it. Come now. Give me the book.
Merwin, what are you doing?
I am about to destroy the Book of Grammarry, Will.
What?
So it will not fall into the hands of the dark. I will touch it against the pendulum of the clock that was its protection, and now will destroy it utterly.
Then Will was staggering backwards, his hands flying to his eyes.
What happened?
And when he took his hands from his face, he found he was pressed against the armchair, 10 feet from where he had been before.
As old ones, the blast could throw us but not destroy us. The Book of Grammarry is gone. Will, we are safe.
But Hawken, where's Hawken? Is he safe?
Oh, he is very much alive, Will. But something desperate is about to happen which involves Hawken, and I do not know how to prevent it. But come, let us join the party next door. You will see what I mean.
And as Will glanced back into the room where the clock had been, there was no damage, no sign of violence or explosion. There was simply nothing.
The dark is rising. Oh, the dark.
Episode 6 of 12 was adapted for The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper for BBC World Service. Episode 7, The Besieging. was adapted for audio by Robert McFarlane and Simon McBurney, directed by Simon McBurney. The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper for BBC World Service. Episode 6, The Opening of the Present. Together, Will and Merriman left the small room in which they had first retrieved and then destroyed the Book of Grammary, the magical book which had taught Will everything about the ancient battle between the light and the dark. And when they stepped back into the gathering in the next room and back into 1875,
five will return and one go alone.
With a jolt, Will noticed that there, threading his way through the crowd in his dapper green coat, seemingly quite recovered, was Hawken.
Look, there's Hawken.
But beside Will, Merriman had stiffened.
Merriman? What is it?
It is peril, Will. Come through my doing. I have made the worst mistake that an old one can make.
And Will saw that lines of pain had deepened on his strong face.
Merriman, look! It's Maggie Barnes, Merriman. She's speaking to Hawken.
Yes, the witch girl is here. You should stay close by me for this next while. See, it begins.
I want to hear what they're saying.
You can, Will. Concentrate now, and by saying, make it so.
Will looked again at Hawken and the girl, and wished to hear them.
Listen.
And found he could hear them.
Truly, madam, I have no wish to seem churlish, but I do not dance.
Why not? Because you're out of your century. They dance in this one with their legs, too.
Who are you? An old one?
Not for all the world. Come dance or people will notice.
And as they began to dance, Will looked up at Merriman.
I put more trust in a mortal man than he has strength to take.
You put your trust in Hawken?
As I told you, Will, I could only take the Book of Grammary safely out past the pendulum if I were touching Hawken, a mortal, with my other hand. That was the spell I made to protect the book.
But he loved you, and he was ready to risk his life for you and the light.
I know, Will. I know. But he is only a man, and he loves as a man, requiring proof of love in return. In his eyes, I betrayed him. And the result is that here, soon, he will betray me.
Will suddenly felt sickened by the approaching treachery. Merriman beside him gazed black into space.
You look well for a man escaped from death. He would have let you die, Hawken.
No. No, no, no. My master loves me.
Merriman used you, Hawken. You are nothing to him. You should surely follow better masters. The dark and the rider are far kinder masters than the light. Oh. I need a cold drink, I believe. Follow me.
Oh.
Come, Hawken.
Oh.
So it will go. He will be shown a sweet picture of the dark, and beside it he will feel the demands of the light, which seem bitter and heavy. Oh, Hawken, my son of centuries, how can you do what you are going to do?
Merriman, what will happen because of this?
Hawken will now be a leak in the roof, Will. The dark's ear in our midst, in this house, which has ever been our stronghold. Whenever Hawken calls them now, the dark can attack us here as elsewhere.
No.
Yes, Will. Our protection here is broken.
Will stood dazed, caught in pity and alarm. He did not ask what would happen to the small, bright-eyed Hawken, who had laughed, helped him, and been, for so short a while, his friend.
There is nothing for it. Come.
We must rejoin your present time. For there is something crucial that you must do there.
And the long dresses of 1875, the music, the dancing, Hawken, Maggie Barnes faded, and Paul, Will's brother, and his flute emerged, as did his brothers and sisters, who were all still singing.
Ah, very good indeed. Wenceslas has always been my favourite. Now, will you all take a little Christmas punch?
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Lyon.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Miss Greythorne.
Perhaps even young Will, too, this year. Happy birthday to you, Will Stanton, seventh son of a seventh son.
Thank you, ma'am.
So now, Will, Paul, I know you're both very musical, so I wonder, would you like to be shown the old recorders and flutes in the other room?
Oh, yes, please, Miss Greythorne.
Miss Greythorne, are the flutes in the library?
Miss Greythorne's sharp eyes glittered at Will.
The library? There's no library here. Once there was a small one with some valuable books, I believe.
Yes, but that burned down one night almost exactly a century ago, when a blast of lightning struck it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
There's no arguing with lightning, Will. And sometimes the world has signs for us. Lyon, will you take Will and Paul to the music room now?
Of course.
Thank you.
And the rest of you, have some more punch.
Merriman led Will and Paul to a side door and into a high, bright room.
This is where the flutes are kept. Look at this one, Paul. Miss Greythorne's father was a very musical gentleman and artistic, too. He designed this entire room.
Paul, absorbed at once, peered into the cabinet at the old flutes and recorders as Merriman handed them out of the cupboard. And as Will turned to study the panels round the fireplace, he suddenly heard Merriman silently calling to him.
Well, quickly now. You must look for the sign of wood. Hawkins' betrayal has cracked open our protection, and the dark could slip in at any moment.
But where is it, Merriman? Where's the sign?
It is made of rowan wood. Look at the panels, Will. Find the rowan leaf. Find it fast while I stand with Paul.
But I don't know what it looks like.
Yes, you do, Will. The Book of Grammary taught you. It gave you the knowledge. Think back, old one. Remember.
The rowan. The lonely tree. Bright of berry and long of leaf. There.
Will rushed across the room.
That panel.
Pressed his thumb into the carving of the rowan leaf as if it were a bell push. And suddenly he was staring into a black square hole in the wall exactly on the level of his eyes.
Quickly now.
He reached in and his fingers closed around a small, smooth object.
Merriman, I have it. I have the sign of wood.
Good. Will drew his hand back from the gap in the panel, which closed instantly.
Mr. Lyon.
Yes.
Do you think Miss Greythorne would mind if I played a few notes?
Not at all. Please.
He slid the sign into his pocket, turned, and froze. There were two more figures in the room. Maggie Barnes, and within an arm's length of Will, towering over him, unseen by Paul and Merriman.
Ah, sightseeker.
The rider.
I see I catch you unawares. Hawking has opened a crack into your sanctuary. Look, your brother Paul is vulnerable too.
From the instinct of his new learning, instantly he flung up a wall of resistance around Merriman and Paul and himself, so that both the creatures of the dark swayed backwards from the force of it, and then vanished.
Ah! Merriman!
Will, what happened? What's wrong? Did you hurt yourself?
No.
And who's Merriman?
He stumbled, I think, Paul. Banged his funny bone, that's all, on the cabinet over there.
It sounded as if someone was murdering you, Will.
There's no harm done. Now, I will put this precious flute away, and then I think we should all go and give Miss Greythorne one more carol.
Yes! Come on, Will. Oh, listen. They're doing First Noel. Oh, quick!
And to the earth he gave great light, and saw it continued all day and
Merriman, I must speak to you. The rider was here, and the witch girl.
I know, Will. You did well, but careful. They have ways of hearing, remember?
Later that evening, as Will climbed the stairs to his room at the top of the house, he could think of nothing but what Christmas morning would bring. And as he pulled the covers over himself, he shivered and gazed up into the close, familiar darkness surrounding him.
I have 3 of the 6 signs of power now. Iron, bronze, and wood. And I have the knowledge of Grammarly.
And then he slept.
The time is 8:06. Good morning from the BBC and a Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Later we'll be hearing last night's carols from King's College Chapel, Cambridge. And of course Her Majesty
Will
the Queen...
Will knelt beside the Christmas tree, excitement thudding in his chest. A long-established tradition in the Stanton family meant that each member could choose to open one present early on Christmas Day.
Will gets to go first because he's the youngest.
Youth before beauty.
This one. I want to open this box.
No surprise, look at the size
of it. Will made a beeline for a giant box marked with his name, partly because it was so impressively large, but mostly because he suspected it came from his brother Stephen.
It's not a box at all, it's a wooden crate.
It's from Stephen. We wrapped it on his behalf, took an acre of paper, but we didn't look inside, so come on, Will, come on.
The first hard shape of something began to show. A thin, strange, curving shape, smooth and brown like a branch. It was an antler. And then a strong and totally unexpected feeling leapt up in Will. A mixture of excitement, security, delight. A feeling that always came over him whenever he was with one of the old ones.
There's a letter tucked behind the antler.
Come on, Will, what is it? Pull it out.
Give me a moment, I want to read it. It's from Stephen. Dear Will, happy birthday, happy Christmas, from Kingston, Jamaica. Here I am, sending you a single present
Dear
for
Will,
both birthday
and... happy 11th birthday, and happy Christmas, from Kingston, Jamaica. Here I am, sending you a single present for both, which I know I always promised never to do, but let me tell you why. I was in the oldest part of Kingston one day during Carnival. Anyway, I got mixed up in a procession when an old man... white hair, deep eyes, appeared out of nowhere, pulled me aside and said,
"You are Stephen Stanton of Her Majesty's Navy. I have something for you. Not for you, but for your youngest brother, the 7th son. It will be a gift from you, his brother, and he will know what to do with it in due course, although you will not."
All I could say was, "But who are you? And how do you know me?"
"I would know you anywhere. You are Will Stanton's brother."
"Well, here I am, sending it to you, what he gave me. I don't know whether you will understand, especially after you see..."
Will folded the letter and put it back in the envelope.
"Give it to him. There is a look we old ones have, and our families have something of it too."
So, the circle of the old ones stretched all the way round the world. But of course it did. There would be no point otherwise. Will eased the object out of the crate, staggering as he took its weight.
What is that?
And ears.
Or a head, rather.
Looks like it's smiling.
Will had never seen anything like it. 2 branching antlers sprang from a head the shape of a stag's, but the ears beside the horns were those of a dog or wolf. The face beneath the horns was human, with a mouth set in a slight smile, but the feather-edged round eyes were those of a bird.
It's like a bird.
Bird eyes.
A thing to call out deep responses from the mind.
It's frightening.
No, it's funny.
I don't like it.
That's a very odd sort of present.
It's a West Indian carnival head. It's old, it's special. Stephen said he found it in Jamaica.
Will ran his fingers over the strange face, and it took him only a moment to find what he was looking for. Engraved on the forehead, right between the horns.
The imprint of a circle, quartered by a cross.
It was very much a thing of the old ones.
What's it for?
For wearing. There's a kind of wire framework that rests on your shoulders. Come on, Will, put it on.
Not now. Not yet.
No. Somebody else open their present. Gwen, you're next.
What on earth can that be so early on Christmas morning?
I'll go.
Here's one for Mary. Oh, very good of you.
Step in, please. Do come in.
As he turned back to the living room, Mr. Stanton was holding a small package in one hand that had not been there before, and behind him, a tall figure loomed in the doorway.
Everyone, this is Mr. Maturthin. Maturthin, my sons, Max, James, Robin, I don't know where the other boys are. And it's my daughters Gwen, Mary, Barbara, my wife Alice. Oh, and over by the tree there is our youngest, Will.
Will glanced up, saw the outline of the face and the longish red-brown hair, and froze.
How do you do, Mrs. Stanton? Compliments of the season.
It was the rider.
The dark is rising. Oh, the dark is rising. The dark is rising.
The dark is rising.
get up in the morning like the rest of us. Places to go, important people to meet. Better not get up or you might lose your seat. Bus rider. Leave the house at 6 o'clock to be on time. And kids at home to make a dime. Grab your lunch pail, check for mail in your slot. You won't get your check if you don't punch the clock. Bus rider. Chair. Grab yourself a toupee cause you're losing your hair. Doesn't matter what you do, you've nothing to lose. I'm so awful goddamn glad I'm not in your shoes. Bus rider.
Yeah. приказа, видели фильм там «Штрафбат», расстрел. За что расстрел, говорит, ну это не суть, не суть. Выполните свой долг. Выполните свой долг. Дойдет очередь до меня, я тоже свой долг. Пока на вас вопрос задать. А то, что там лучше, не лучше, все зависит от вас самих. У вас у каждого своя голова есть. Если идти с таким настроем, что, блядь, нас там или убьют, или нас начнут отстреливать, обкладывать, тогда нахуй вообще тогда кто-то выходил из мест лучше, чем здесь, кто-то с гражданки пришел, блин. Надо было сидеть дома, сидеть дома. Вы же все пришли добровольно. Никто вас не заставлял куда-то идти, блин. Сидели бы сейчас, сегодня пятница, попивали бы пивко, блядь. На зоне, наверное, уже, блядь. Выходной начинается у некоторых товарищей. Я так, к примеру, вам говорю. Так что, все это, блядь, все, что есть, дальше, за налем и дальше. Там решение каждого. Идти или не идти. Один хуй вас отловит. Один хуй вы придете и вас поймает. В любом случае. Как вам, вот как вы потом жить будете, это уже вопрос второй. Нужно выполнить задачу. Нужно. И никто ее с нас не снимет. Сейчас как раз пойдете, там выводят этих индейцев, которые, блядь, там жировали на стрелке, блядь. Вы их сами прекрасно все видели и знаете, блядь, кто туда заходил и выходил, блядь, оттуда. Где они прячутся, блядь, то же самое вы знаете. Мимо них проходили не раз. Все. Рота В. Грузитесь в машину. Тагомат. Любая ваша на выбор. С таким настроением, что нас там, блядь, сейчас развалят птицы или еще что-то, нахуй тогда вообще было что-то делать.
Have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I would do things my way? How little they know, it's so hard to find one rich man in a hundred. Satisfied mind. Once I was waiting in fortune and fame. Everything I could dream of to get a start in life's game. And then suddenly it happened. Every dime, but I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. No money can't buy when you're old, or a friend when you're lonely, or a love that's grown cold. And the world's richest man is a pauper at times. there's no doubt. But there's one thing for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this whole world with a satisfied
cold when it's critical. Cool but cynical. Maxed out, never minimal. That's how we function. Cold when it's critical. Cool but cynical. Maxed out, never minimal. Welcome to London, yo. That's how we function. That's how we function. Nobody don't trust nobody. Welcome to London, yeah. That's how we function. That's how we function. Nobody don't trust nobody round here. What? Welcome to London. So when I step to the high road, I see CCTV and cameras. They're going hard for the riches and fortunes. From the street vendors to the bankers, boys in blue always looking for a problem. There's a price to pay when you're a black man. There's a next on pressure in both sides. He don't give a fuck and we call him the tax man. Yo, so welcome to London, fam. Poverty, we got that in abundance, fam. Some are homeless, some are reckless. You'll get fucked if you buck up on a London gang. What's sterling? They run up on your London grants. Put work in and mash up all your London plans. You can't argue when we start charging congestion, that's another London scam. Cold when it's critical. Cool but cynical. Maxed out, never minimal. That's how we function. Cold when it's critical. Cool but cynical. Maxed out, never minimal. Welcome to London, yo. That's how we function. That's how we function. Nobody don't trust nobody. Welcome to London, yeah. That's how we function. That's how we function. Nobody don't trust nobody round here. What? Welcome to London. Flexing but slowly we're suffering. All this name brand, you see man covered in. We go hard but we know we're gonna look good. But the ego don't show when we're struggling. Cold even though we got the teapot bubbling. Young girls on the roadside, they do the hustling. So the street crime's always epidemic. And you could find a real killer in the club shuffling. Yo, so welcome to London, fam. Black cabs, red buses and the white van. Man, they got oysters, they're not just seafood. So the boy them can follow and see. 24 hours every day, my city don't sleep. You need peas in my city cause it's not cheap. Top quality has never been a guarantee. We'll extort with your friends and family. Cold when it's critical. Cool but cynical. Maxed out, never minimal. That's how we function. Cold when it's critical. Cool but cynical. Maxed out, never minimal. Welcome to London, yo. That's how we function. That's how we function. Nobody don't trust nobody. Welcome to London, yeah. That's how we function. That's how we function. Nobody don't trust nobody round here. What? Welcome to London.
What the fuck do you mean next week? Are you alright? Come here, listen. I've done the job and I want my fucking money now. So fuck off. Find my money. Put it in the hand and then fuck off. Welcome to London, you man.
Fuck it, jailbreak the Tesla. Fuck it, jailbreak the Tesla. Fuck it, jailbreak the Tesla.